You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What's up, everybody? This is Cookie Monster. Welcome to the Radiant Culture Podcast. We're back. We're happy. We're happening. And this is the month of love. You know, this is where I wish I had that Barry White kind of voice. This is the month of love. But of course, I'm not gifted with a deep voice, so that's not going to happen. How's everybody doing? Yes. Yes, everyone is doing good. I know. I'm doing good. Yes. I'm happy. It's a happy day. Because today, we've got some really, really, really cool guests in the house. Like, this is really cool. So, first of all, I want to introduce this guy. He's like a really special guy. Right. The last time he was on the podcast, we called him Mr. Chivalry. And so, yeah, he is Mr. Chivalry. And he really is Mr. Chivalry. Well, yes. Yeah, levels. And then, none other than our very own T-Mac.
Hey, hey, hey.
Who's up? Abandoned me.
I haven't abandoned
you. She hasn't abandoned you. She has other priorities.
I know. I understand. I'm not complaining. It's okay. I just don't feel abandoned.
I apologize to all the Radiant Culture listeners for taking... No, I can't call her Miss T-Mac. She's Mrs. Someone, but...
No, it's okay. We're getting there. I guess, you know, he's already preempted what's going on here. But, yeah, this guy is the culprit. For all those people who are missing T-Mac on the show, this guy here is the culprit. He's the reason why. Okay. But he's smiling.
The reason why.
She's, like, happy.
Yeah, no, I'm happy.
You're the reason. Cool. So today we want to talk about, since, you know, this is Feb, which is typically known as the month of love. Well, yeah, somewhat.
Yeah, everyone.
But yes. So we're gonna just go with the flow. And today we want to talk about relationships. And I know this gets people all excited and stuff, but we want to particularly talk about these guys' relationship and their journey and how they got to where they are now, because it was quite an exciting journey. And and then we also just want to glean some lessons from there, just, you know, from their own journey. So guys, what's going on?
And chilling.
Yeah.
We're happy, we're good. Hi listeners, I forgot to say hi before.
Hi everybody.
Hello.
Yeah. Right, and then I wanted to talk about the length of your relationship and your courtship, mm-hmm. how that was. And then, of course, I want us to then talk about how you came to the conclusion that this is what you guys actually wanted to do. And here we are today.
Okay.
So let's get into it. How did it happen?
Well, it started on one... chilled day after church in beginning of November 2015. I was walking outside the church.
This guy remembers everything.
Oh yeah,
he does.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
So embarrassing.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. I don't
details are my thing. Well, these kinds of details, not the details, as Team Mac will tell you. But yeah, I was walking outside church, you actually, Cookie Monster, grabbed me and said, hey, go sign up for, there was a conference happening, that month, an entrepreneurs conference or something happening. You told me, hey dude, go sign up for that.
On.
Yeah. Yeah. So I knew I wasn't signing up for it cause I had no money at the time. I wasn't working at the time, but you insisted that I go sign up, and I did. I went to the sign up desk and I'm writing my name down, and, yeah, T-Mac recognizes my name, and she's like, oh, and she mentions a couple of people in my life, and I'm like, wait a minute, I put the dots together, and I
recognize
like,
his name, because the surname I now have is very, very unique, shall I say, that's why I recognize
his
name.
Shall we disclose at the end, or there's no disclosure?
I don't know, it depends on him, his name is weird.
Do people normally disclose such things?
Not a lot of people with that name, that's why.
His name is weird.
Surname.
Well, it's spelled so weird. It's
yeah,
spelled
your
weird.
Surname. Is
it's spelled
weird.
Our
yeah.
surname.
Our surname.
It's not his.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
So she recognized the name. Then I put two and together and realized that she must have been someone I went to the same high school with or something like that. And right. It turns out that we did, except that I didn't quite remember her because she was a few years my junior, just right. a few, not too many.
What? Nothing.
But when I went home later that day and I stalked her on Facebook, I saw her sister's pictures, pictures of her with her sister. Yeah. I went home and I was like, I was very intrigued. Who was that girl? Like, I was just captured. Like, who was that girl? So I went and looked her up on Facebook and I saw pictures of her with her sister and I realized, oh, that's who she is. And yeah, from then on, I just sort of just kept tabs on her on Facebook because I was actually seeing someone at the time who I knew I was going to break up with. I just wasn't ready to.
Right. Hold on. Hold it.
Hashtag overlap.
Okay, so. Did you. At what point did you know that you're going to break up with this other person? It was after.
No, it was before.
Signing
then.
Up.
It was before.
After the Destiny Helper, the monster, directed him to the sign up desk.
Because this man.
He's a Destiny Helper.
Sorry, carry on.
Well, it was just the relationship wasn't going well. And I knew in my heart of hearts that, you know what, I'm not going to marry this person. So. I wasn't quite ready to break up with her, even though I knew that at some point I'm going to. And yes, you know, I'll be honest, meeting T-Mac that day sort of catalyzed that process. Because I was like, you know what, I want to get to know T-Mac, but I don't want to do it while I'm with someone else. I was sort of very specific on that, just from previous experiences, that, you know what, I don't want to be caught in a situation where I'm pursuing someone, but I'm still with someone and there's overlap. I don't want there to be any sort of overlap. So yeah, I broke up with the previous person, gave myself a bit of time, you know, prayed, fasted, and then went for it.
Okay, let's just rewind a little bit here. So just a few things I want to highlight. So you mentioned that in your heart of hearts, you knew that you didn't want to marry this other person.
Yeah.
And I think it's actually important because there could be people out there that are in relationships where they kind of feel like, you know what, I'm with this person, I've been with them for a long time or whatever, right? And in their heart of hearts, they kind of feel like, ish, you know what, I don't think this is actually going to happen.
Yeah.
Maybe because of church or society or whatever other expectations are there, they stay in it.
Mm.
So I like what you're saying, that you were honest with yourself about that. Yeah, that's just something that I wanted to.
Yeah.
Highlight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carry on. So how did you actually then go for it?
Well, I did some research. So, you know, to all you single guys out there, when you see someone who you're attracted to, that's a good thing. Attraction is good.
Attraction is a good
attraction
thing.
Attraction is a very good thing. But it can't obviously end there. So I sort of talked to a couple of cousins of mine who had gone to the same school of her. Talked to a couple of friends of mine to be like, hey, well, who's this girl? What's she like? Do you know who she is? I talked to you, Cookie Monster, as well. You know, sat you down, took you for coffee.
Yes.
You know, yes. Asked you the details on this person. And after sort of talking to a few people and, you know, just sort of praying about it, I was like, all right, cool. Reached my decision that, okay, I am going to pursue this person.
Even after what Cookie Monster said to you?
Yeah. What, do you remember what he said? Did I tell you what he said?
Yeah, you told me.
I don't remember what he said.
So Cookie Monster said to me, bruh, we're going to pursue this item. Yeah, you better be ready to fight because this item gets smacked on by a lot of people. So you better make sure your game.
It's really exaggerating. Like, where did you even get that from?
Like, you better make sure your game is on point because she's pursued by a lot of people. So be ready for that. And I just asked one simple question. Okay, she's pursued by a lot of people, but is she actually single? And he said she was. So, cool. Had you said that she wasn't single, we wouldn't be here today.
Do you reckon? Or would you still have been like, ah, but
no,
you know
it was a conviction of mine that, you know what, if I know for a fact that a girl is with some other guy, let that try and play out, you know, don't step in. Like, it was a real thing that I sort of had revelation on because of a previous experience.
All right.
Mm. So I was like, if I know you're with someone, I'm not pursuing you.
What if the dude is like a douche and you know it?
You see that he's a douche and ended, but don't need me to tell you that. You've got other people in your life. What are they doing? All right.
Hey, this guy, Mr. Chivalry. All right. So, okay. So now we're here. We have the conversation. I remember the conversation. And then you actually decide that I'm going for this, right? And then, of course, I gave you some information, some inside information.
Some encouragement, lots of encouragement along the way.
Yes.
Because it was a long, hard battle.
Yes. Then I remember. Oh, no, in fact, before we get there. And then what happens? Yeah, I think just narrate the story. No, not everything, but I think, you know, just the highlights.
So one of the key things for us was while I was stalking her on Facebook, she posted this, which is weird now because she's anti-Christmas, but she posted this this post on Facebook. It said free Christmas wish list number one, free 3-course meal for whoever gets me this, and it was a cookbook. So I went all around Harare looking for this cookbook. It was by a British chef, Lorraine Pascal. British, right? She's British. Yeah, Lorraine Pascal. And I'm looking in all these bookshops, and I'm leaving my name and contact details. None of you bookshop people ever got back to me, by the way. and I couldn't find this book. But somewhere along the journey of me looking for this book, I remember I was going between Village and Chizzy. I just sort of had a God moment, you know, where I sort of had this sense that, you know, it was almost like God was saying to me, you know what, you're on the right path. This version of you, who you are right now, this is who, you know, I created you to be. Someone who will sort of do this kind of crazy stuff and pursue a girl like this.
And had you always been like this?
I used to be. Like when I was younger, like my high school friends will tell you, I was that overly romantic guy who tried to do too much to get a girl's attention. And say when I was in university, my friends used to laugh at me because I was always that kind of guy. They used to say to me, Kuna, you always have this horizon look about you. Why? You know, just live in the now and do things now. But no, I was always a dreamer with this kind of stuff.
Right. Okay, cool. So I want us to kind of fast forward so that, because I know this is a really juicy story. But we don't want to make the episode too long. Okay, so cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
What then happened? Did you get it?
I got the cookbook finally in Dubai a few months later.
In Dubai.
I had to go to Dubai to get it because it wasn't even an essay.
Guys, can you see the level? The level of focus. Yeah, you can. Anyway, let me keep quiet.
So got the cookbook in Dubai. While I was in Dubai as well, also got her a birthday present. Because I think, you know what? It's going to be a birthday at some point in the year. So I got her something.
Had you guys started talking yet at this point?
We had a little bit, but not really. Like, I ran into her after church sometime in January. I was like, hey.
Be specific, though. After you fast.
Yeah, it was exactly the day that the fast was ending church.
Okay. Wait. So during this whole time, there's a lot of fasting and praying going on.
Yeah.
For the girl.
No, not for the girl. It was just that I would do things in a way that would, in essence, be pleasing to God. I was very like, you know what, I want to make sure that in my pursuit of this person, I don't cross any lines. I don't do anything that would, you know, hurt myself or hurt her or hurt another person. So it was really like, all right, God, I'm about to go on this journey that I believe that, you know, hey, I think you want me to go on this journey. So just show me how to do it in a way that will, in essence, be above board. I was very like, you know what, I want this pursuit to be above board and just righteous,
so,
almost.
So at what point did you guys then actually start talking?
It was after I gave her the book that's when we started talking. I think after the fast asked her for her number, she said no. She just talked to me on Facebook. But that's actually, ladies out there, it's good advice. If there's a guy who's coming up to you, you don't want to talk to, don't give him your number. Tell him to talk to you in other places.
Talk to you in other places.
To see if he's serious, I don't know. But yeah, I would try and talk to her and she wouldn't reply. And it was only after I gave her the book that she was like, whoa, where'd you find this book? What? And that's when she gave me a number and that's when we started talking.
T-Mac.
Yes.
So when you were like, Jack, you're not getting my number.
Mm-hmm.
Were you like serious?
Of course I was serious.
Okay, so it wasn't like one of those, let's see how serious you are type thing.
No, I was not interested.
Okay, we're going to focus on you just a little bit. So you had like zero interest.
Mm.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, are we on me now?
We're on you.
Oh, no. There were some things going on with me, so...
Okay.
I was not exactly single. Yeah, but it was not very healthy what I was in, so...
In a zone.
Yeah, I was in a not a good space at all to bring someone else into my world.
You didn't tell me this, though.
I didn't. Not a lot of people knew. I wasn't particularly proud of who I was seeing at the time anyway. So, yeah, I wasn't available anyways. Okay. Not emotionally, physically, anyhow. I just wasn't available.
Okay, so I remember having conversations with you. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about this relationship is that, like, so these guys are both my friends. So, you know, I'd be having these conversations with the both of them. And I specifically remember T-Mac just like, "Sha, I'm not smacking." Right? Then I remember the one day, right? I remember the one day at the movies. So I'm at the movies. Yeah. Then I see the two of you together. I'm like, "Koyo, you're busy telling me that you're not interested in the next hour. You're at the movies
Wasn't
together."
Wasn't that the one where you had a chaperone?
It might have been.
So,
please
just tell us a bit about that, because I think this would be useful. What happened? Did you then start warming up to him?
Yeah, no, it was impossible not to.
After the birthday gift.
It was impossible not to.
So after I ended my situation, or whatever it was, in December, or just like, sometime in December. And then he was trying to talk to me, but... I wasn't just ignoring. I was also really busy. So.
Starting a bit.
No, I was going out of town a lot. And I would like see his messages after. And I always loved reading them. They were long. His Facebook messages were really long. And they were so entertaining to read. And then I'd respond with two lines.
Wow.
Because I didn't want to give him like hope. Because I was like, I'm not like, I've just come out of this. Nonsense. I'm not trying to jump into anything else yet. And he seemed so nice. I felt like I don't want to even taint this guy. Like, he actually seems like a proper person. So let me not even. I don't want to do my funnies here. So I didn't even want to give him any, like, idea, like, there's a chance. Because at the time, there really was genuinely no chance.
Okay.
So, yeah, I just respond to his Facebook messages here and there. I did not want to give him my number. He asked me to go for coffee, which caught me off guard. So I said yes, meaning no. But I said yes.
Smart guy.
I had no intention, you guys, of going on coffee. Like, I just thought it was like, you know how people just say, "Yeah, we'll catch up sometime." I thought it was one of those, like, right. "Yeah, for real, we will." No, when both parties actually know that we're not going to catch up.
Meanwhile, she says yes, and I go back to my cousin. I'm like, "She said yes to coffee. High five. Woo, what up, Inda?"
Wow.
I had no intention of going for that coffee, guys.
So the coffee did happen?
Eventually, after the Lord himself intervened, yeah, it happened.
Okay. So what I want to know now is, I want to know how you guys then actually started dating.
Like, from my end, it was a bit complicated. So he gets me this book, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, she's actually really sweet. Like, who the hell does this?" Sweet and kind of creepy, because I was like, I didn't even know that we were Facebook friends like that. Like, how did she even see the post? But yeah, I was intrigued, but also like, I should actually just tell him from the jump off, there's no chance, but maybe we can be friends. But there's romance, pana chance.
What did you tell him?
I did, sort of. I said we could be friends. What did I say to you after I gave you my number? I said we can be friends now.
Oh, yeah. She did say that. Oh, she said we can be friends now.
Yeah.
But to me, it was like, tada progress. On the next stage. Like, you know, you're in a video game, you've got past level one, level two, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's just really the one thing that everybody says about this guy that is absolutely true is just he's so kind, and he's just so, he's got a gentleness about him. So it was hard to even be mean to him after I decided, okay, I'm going to be friends with this person.
Okay.
And we discovered we had so much in common. We both liked Hamish and Andy. We Ooh. Both watched the same series, some of them, except Game of Thrones, which I want to judge you for right now. I did then. Actually, I still judge you for that.
No, I join you in judging.
And we had a lot of similar interests. So at the back of my mind, I was like, ha, in another life, yeah, this would actually be someone who would be better for me than the kind of people that I have been choosing.
Right.
But I really was not trying to entertain it.
I guess we're in the next life now.
Huh? Yeah. And then in April, I had like a near-death experience where I had an accident all by myself. Like, no one else was involved in the accident.
Yeah.
But I was in the mountains there in the dark, and I like drove, almost hit a cow, or then dodged the cow and then almost hit a tree and then went through a danga. And
I remember that.
It was hectic, and I was all on my own, and I just went back to my hotel room, and I just sobbed and sobbed and cried and cried. It was kind of like a epiphany, sort of like, oh my gosh, had I died today, like, what, where was I gonna actually go, like, for real? Because I had kind of been living not the best life, not the most pleasing to God.
Right.
So, I felt it wasn't. So, yeah, in that room, talk to God. We had a good night.
Is that like when you was doing marijuana?
No, and stuff? No.
I'm joking.
Living our best life.
Living your best life.
I read my Bible properly more than I had in a while. And yeah. I made a promise, actually, to God. And I said, I'm not going to entertain any man. For the next 12 months, I am off, boys. Nothing. No,
wow.
I just did not want that. But then at the same time, I also decided when I do entertain a boy, he's going to have these three things. And it was kind of spirit-led, because me in my natural would never put those things on my list. Mm-hmm. Not never, but they had not been at the top of my priority list when it came to choosing guys.
What were they?
The first one was that he has to be a real Christian. Not someone who I'm missionary dating, not someone who needs me to tell them go to church, not someone who prays here and there. Like, I just needed someone who was actually had his own relationship with God without help from me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd been doing a lot of that, of trying to get people to be better with God, and it's just draining. Like,
so you're like trying to help these other guys to get better with God, and yet you're like in like a backslidden state.
Yeah, like
evangelism.
And it's terrible because you. Yeah, when you do that, inevitably, I think you get dragged down a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, even if your intentions are good.
Okay, cool. So you have these three things.
Yeah, so yeah, real Christian
needs
to be from my church, mm-hmm. which that was really, I mean, come on. I've been in the same church for over 15 years, I think.
People from that church, close your ears right now.
Guys. And not that the talent was lacking, but... I knew all the guys they were to know. Like, they were all my friends already. So I was like, I mean, what's going to happen?
The rest were not worth knowing.
No, but like, I just felt like I put that on there because I wanted to have the foundations.
Yeah.
Not that we have to stay in that church, but like, similar foundation, similar belief system. You know, there's a lot of churches these days. Yeah. So I just wanted someone similar background to me.
All right.
And the third thing was that he should be not fine with not kissing in our relationship, not willing to sacrifice physical stuff for the sake of getting to know each other. No, not fine with. I wanted someone with a conviction about having our first kiss on the altar.
Yeah, just.
I didn't want to, again, be the one setting the boundaries and being like, we can do this, but we can't do that. Because it's exhausting, guys. Like, the boundaries always change, and you do things, then you regret, and then it's like, okay, but where in the Bible does it say you can't do this? So I was like, no, this person needs to come with his own convictions.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't want to have to convince nobody.
Yeah. Wow.
So those were the three things.
So was this after you'd had your near-death thing? Bye-bye-bye. There you are, near-death, kind of backslidden, and you have this, like, hectic. So this is like a turning point for you.
Yeah, but I was very determined to like really present to God at that time.
Okay. Yeah. Back to you, Mr. Shivas.
Mm.
Shivas Miguel.
So, she's going through this whole process, yeah. Mount Sinai moment of hers.
Yeah.
What's going on with you at this stage? Had you guys started talking? Did she communicate this with you?
So we had started talking a little bit, but not that much. And I think around this time, I was starting to get to the point where I was like, all right, I've been pursuing this, you know, for some time now. And I was starting to think, all right, maybe it's about time that I, you know, throw in the towel, maybe, because I think she's going through something, or maybe she's not, or she's not feeling me. I don't know what it was. So, yeah, I talked to you again, and you were like, bruh, glass half full, not half empty. Bruh, glass half full, not half empty. And I remember listening to a sermon the preacher's main point was, he talked about the disciples and how at the second feeding, so there's 5,000, then the second one is what, 7,000, 3,000?
There's 4, then there's 5.
There's 5 and then there's 4,000, the second time around. And how Jesus sort of says, the way Jesus interacts with the disciples during the second time when they have to feed a large crowd, the preacher said that, look, he was trying to get them to see that, you know what, last time this happened and I got you through, and you picked up the pieces and you saw what happened. So all the time in your future, learn to pick up the pieces and put the piece together. I mean, and put everything together and trust that you'll get through whatever's facing you. And I just sort of thought, all right, you know what? Let me try and do that. Let's pick up these pieces. All right, so what's happened? Okay, this has happened. You know, we're now talking at least. I have a number. She's invited me to a cell group. You know, we're now talking a little bit. So I was like, you know what? Let me try hanging there a little bit. But at the time, I suppose, spirit led, I was praying just for her, not to be with her, but, you know, for her spiritually, that, you know,
wow,
that God would be revealing himself to her, that she'd be sensing his presence, that he'd be guiding her steps, that he'd be protecting her.
So just for her as a human being.
I was just praying for her every day, in sort of my diary at work. I'd always put there to praise God and pray for T-Mac every single day. I did that.
Plus,
So yeah, I guess that helped, meant something. I don't know.
Okay, so now I wanna fast forward again. I want us to get to the part where you guys then actually got together, mm-hmm, and started dating. How did that happen?
Well, there was a series of things that happened. I don't think we have time to get into great detail with those exact events. But I don't know if people know the concept of fleecing, but I never believed in it, actually.
Fleecing like Gideon.
Yes.
Like what Gideon did with God.
Yes.
Okay. How did you fleece?
Well, they say to fleece, you ask for something that's kind of out there, like would not typically happen, just like Gideon did, like, mm-hmm, ask for the fleece to be dry and everywhere else around it to be wet and vice versa. So, not that I intentionally fleeced, actually, it was kind of just happened. I was in a perfume shop with a friend and I said to her, the man who marries me is going to buy me this perfume. It was just a random interaction. I did not prayerfully consider it.
So you just like...
I was just saying.
You're just saying.
And then we just laughed and we're like, yes, we declare, hallelujah. Like, it was just a funny moment, actually. Yeah. We didn't really give it much thought. And she said, yes, I'm your witness. It shall happen. And that was it. That happened like a year before we even started talking, I think.
Oh, wow.
It happened quite some time. Not a year, but like it happened before we even met.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. So then... I'll just skip some stuff. But basically, to cut a long story short, he then wanted to give me a gift. And he asked my friend to get inside information about the kind of perfume I wanted.
So the same friend?
No, a different one. A totally different one.
Okay.
So then she's trying to get information out of me, and I just found it strange. She's like, no, I don't even know what story she came up with. And I gave her, like, three perfumes that I wanted, none of which were the one that I did the fleecing thing about. Yes. So she then gave him this list of three perfumes. So he's thinking, cool, I can get her a gift. Any one of these three will do. He goes to the shop. I guess he can tell how it happened for him, but just for the sake of time. He ignored her list, and he felt led to a different one when he now got into the shop. And then he bought that perfume for me. And then when I opened it, I was like, shut the front door. What? This is that perfume that I spoke to my friend about, like, however many months ago. And he just handed it to me. Guys, it wasn't even like it was my birthday or anything. He just decided, I want to get her a gift.
Guys, this is spooky, guys. Immediately,
I called that friend of mine who was my witness. I'm like, Iwesha, have you been talking to this woman? And she's like, talking to me about what? And I'm like, don't you remember that day? She's like, yeah, I remember. And I'm like, do you remember the perfume? She's like, yeah, auntie, it was my job. That's the only thing I had to remember. I'm like, yeah. She's like, did you tell him? She's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even have his number. So, yeah.
Wow.
It was weird. So, after that point, and a few of other things that had happened that were like coincidences that were very like, this has to be God. I loosened up and I was just like, okay, I know I'd made this 12-month promise to God, but I feel as though he's given me enough assurance to say that this one is different. Like, this time it's totally different from anything else I've been in or experienced. And I felt God saying, the reason why you... The 12-month thing, I put the time limit on it to be like 12 months, no boys, because I felt like that's how long I needed. But I think God really just needed me to have my focus on him.
Yeah.
And then things would start to happen rather than have my focus on a guy and things would start to happen with him. Like, he needed my order of priorities to be correct.
Right.
And by that time, they were such that I also was like, God, why are you seeing this nice guy when... I'm trying to focus on you. Like, can you not see that you are being an enemy of progress? So I was really confused. But then I just had a moment of clarity at some point, and I was like, you know what?
Just a quick one. Sorry to cut you off. I guess I want to know just about this perfume story. Mm. I think this is just really fascinating. Quick one, very quickly. How did you know?
Oh, I didn't know I was getting, the secret. I didn't know I was getting the secret to T-Mac's heart. I went into the shop and I was trying, and I tried the ones that her friend had suggested, and then I was like, you know what, let me just try some other ones. Then I came across that one perfume, and then I was like, you know what, let me go back to those three, and then I narrowed that three down to one. But as I was about to buy it, the shop assistant says to me, hey, that other one that you lingered on, it's actually the last one we have. And that brand is discontinuing that perfume. It was Jimmy Choo Exotic. And they were like, yeah, they're discontinuing that line. So this one you can always come back and get another time, but this one you won't be able to.
Hmm.
So I was like, you know what? All right, I hear you. Let's get that one. And I was like, I'm going against what a friend said. He's just going to go terribly, and I'm freaking out. But I'm like, you know what? Something in me just said, you know what? It's okay. This is a good perfume to get. And it smells incredible as well. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's go for this one. Something different.
Wow. All right. This is amazing. So, again, fast forward. So this whole thing happens. You guys end up together.
Well, yeah. As time is going on, I obviously could tell within myself, this guy is not just my friend anymore. I'm actually developing real feelings for him. And you don't want to just string someone along when we can both sense and both feel that, okay, no, this is legit. And it scared me. It really scared me. So sometimes I'd push him away because it was scaring me so much. Because I was like, yeesh, what if he's the one? And then I'm messing it up. And other times I was like, no, but this could be an awesome thing. This could be the last guy I date. Like, how awesome is this? Plus, in the course of our talking, he had already ticked those three boxes that I told you about from my mountaintop moment, including that one of not wanting to kiss on the altar. So I was like, yo, okay, how many people are going to do that? So, yeah, all of these things combined I guess like he's saying, put the pieces together.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? God, please don't be mad at me. I'm going to cut this 12-month thing short.
So how many months did it end up being?
It was like 5 or 6.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I still had to go for another 6 or something. And he had said you'd wait. Can't you?
I had said that.
So, and then you've been going through your whole thing where you're like, is this, remember, where you're kind of feeling discouraged and so, but you just kept on going.
I just hung in there. Like, I just said to myself, you know, just hang in there for as long as you can. You know, I think there's this saying or something where, you know, if you can run, run. If you can walk, walk. If you have to crawl, crawl. And I sort of, just hung on to that. I was like, you know what, just day by day, just keep going for as long as you can. Because I think I was also at a point where I was like, you know what, I think there's enough here that if this works out, she could be the last girl I ever, well, you don't ever stop pursuing your woman. But this could be the last time that I'm ever doing this for the, you know, for the first time or something. So I just was like, hey, I just was convicted to just hang in there for as long as you can. For as long as you can.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So, well, you know what? It's actually difficult to skip parts because this is a very, and this story is just amazing. And then, you guys, I want to get to how you then started dating and then courting.
I would come to his work and have lunch with him. And one of those days, I just sat him down and I was like, look, I know I said 12 months, but even if you ask me now.
You actually said that?
Something along those lines.
Yeah,
pretty much. So I'm not good. Like, don't worry about the 12-month time limit. Whenever you're good, I'm good.
Through pass.
Yeah, let's give it a through pass. And I took it the next day. Took off for breakfast.
My man.
You really didn't waste time.
Waste time for who? I've been the same for a while.
My man.
Months. This week was 9 months. It's waste time. No, let's do this.
So this is the time now. T-Mac used to be my homie. Now I don't see T-Mac no more. I'm like, ish, what's going on? Hey, the Shivari Own used to be my boy. Bruh, I don't see the Own anymore. Then I'm just like, banaba, chichukitika, banaba. Anyway, so of course you guys start dating. How long was your courtship?
It ended up being 3 years and just over 3 months.
Okay. Yeah. Was it that long?
Yeah, it was that long. From September 2016 to December 2019.
So was that by design or?
No.
Do you mind sharing that
so,
part of it?
At the end of 2017, we're at a New Year's party. Or New Year's get-together, wasn't really. Well, we can call it a party. New Year's get-together. And, you know, we're having a games night. We're chilling. And after the countdown and after sort of, you know, hugging and, you know, celebrating the new year together, I looked at her and I thought, you know what, because I was thinking in my head, all right, I'm going to have to drop her off at home after this and then go home. And I was like, you know what, I'm kind of tired of dropping her off at home. Mm-hmm. I don't want to have to do that for much longer. So I was like, you know what, at some point this year, I think I would like this to actually progress to more than just courting. I'd like to do everything. That's just sort of where the first thought came into my mind. And then that was solidified after her friend's wedding. During her friend's wedding, she was a bridesmaid. And we'd actually had a pretty rocky month leading up to her wedding. I think we'd barely talked and hung out. And it was just, we weren't having a good time. But when I saw her at that wedding in that blue bridesmaid's dress, and I was just blown away. And I was like, okay, what are you doing?
When I saw you in that dress.
and the next day when I was going to work, I remember just for some random reason just thinking, if my life was to end in 6 months, what would I do? And the first thing that popped into my mind was I would drop everything that I'm doing and spend every single day and every single moment with T-Mac. And I was like, okay, cool.
You've never told me that.
Yes. I didn't tell you that?
No.
Oh.
I guess
you get to hear with just the listeners. Yeah, I was like, I'll drop everything that I'm doing.
This is just a Nigerian movie.
And yeah, I was in that moment that I sort of realized, wait a minute, are you sure about what you're saying? I was like, yeah. You know, I was having a conversation with myself. I was like, yeah, I would. I would drop, I would quit work, I would do everything and just spend every single moment that I could with. And that's when I knew, all right, cool, I want to marry this person.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. I want us to fast forward again to the ring story, because I know that's another very interesting story.
Yeah. That happened before, though.
That happened before we started.
Quickly tell us the ring story, and then, because, yeah, we've literally got like...
2 seconds.
2 seconds.
Okay. I was talking to my friends. We were talking about the kind of engagement rings that we would like. This was, before we started dating.
Mm.
And, we all Googled pictures of the ring we'd want, sent it to each other on this group, and we're like, right, if my guy ever asks you for advice on the ring to get, I don't know, but it was just this particular group of friends. It's a group of three of us.
Okay.
So, well, we were particular about the rings we wanted.
Guys, always be good with the friends.
Yep. Yep.
So they sent through their pictures. I should probably make sure I still have those pictures. And I sent through mine, and they were like, girl, please, like, what guy is going to get you a blue sapphire ring? Like, obviously, the natural thing is to get you a diamond. And I'm like, yeah, well, I don't like diamonds, so I don't know. Unless he asks you, guys, I don't know how he's going to know to get the correct one, but I just hope he does ask you. So that's my part of the story. And then I relayed that story to him, and like, yeah, the funny thing happened. We were talking about rings, and then I didn't tell him the kind of ring that I said I wanted. I just said, he can tell you.
So yeah, she comes, on one of these days when she, you know, she's coming to have lunch with me at work. You know, when she's telling me she doesn't like me.
When you guys are now ditching me. Yeah.
She's telling me about this exchange. She's like, man, my friends were laughing at me saying, girl, be serious. If you want that kind of ring, then there's no way a Zim guy is thinking about that. You better look for some European dude or something like that, you know, because they're the ones who think about those kinds of rings. And I don't know. I suppose it was just because we had so many moments in our relationship. I was like, you know what? Wait a minute. God must have done this, or this coincidence is too much, or something. That instantly, I was like, "Oh, I know what ring you want." And she was like, "Huh?" I was like, "You want a white gold ring with a blue sapphire stone, don't you?" And like, her mouth drops to the floor, and she gets up. And she's like,
"What?" And it was so specific, like, to the point of even knowing I wanted white gold.
How?
But how did
you? No. How did I know? So, for as long as I had ever thought about proposing to someone, when I was younger, I was a huge fan of the TV show Friends. And, when I was younger, I said younger. When I was young. I'm still young. Thank you.
No, I'm still a fan.
Oh. Let's edit that part out. So I was a huge fan of the TV show Friends, and when Chandler proposes to Monica in that show, that's the general sort of ring that he had. I remember that ring just stood out to me in that moment. I was like, you know what? I want a ring like that. And from that moment on, I was like, whenever I would think about proposing to someone or think about being engaged, it was always, I always pictured my fiance with a white gold ring, right, white gold band that had a blue sapphire stone on it. So, yeah, I relayed that to her, and she was like, oh. And that was when she eventually admitted. That was the first time she actually told me that she liked me after that exchange.
Okay, this is like really freaky, man. I mean, okay, like a good kind of freaky.
Yeah, good kind of freaky.
I was like, what the heck? Wow. Okay, right. Fast forward, because I know there's a whole lot of other things.
Yeah.
Then you guys did the engagement, right?
Mm.
I know that was pretty epic as well.
Yeah.
Saw the pictures.
It was a fun night.
Dude, you got game. Like, if you guys see the pictures, I'm just like, wow, this guy.
Mr. Shivori.
Yeah. But we can't get into that.
We'll let next year Valentine's.
Next year Valentine's, yeah. We'll do that. Because I know you were like writing exams and stuff happening. I kind
of
have some inside info. Come to me if you want to know. And then the wedding. So I think what I want to know, guys, is this. What kept you going? Because I'm pretty sure there's some low moments.
Mm-hmm.
There were things that happened in between that. Did you ever at any point have doubts that this is what you guys wanted to do? Or were you always like on this, you know, this is it?
You want to go first?
Sure. For sure, there were moments where I was like, sure. I thought this would be easy. I think that's more what it was. Not being prepared for the life aspect of it.
Right.
Because our courtship had been so interesting and had so many highs that I thought, obviously our relationship will just be one high to the next. But it was a lot of highs and lows and real lows. And I would wonder, like, but why is it so hard? Like, it went from being effortless to actually being hard.
Yeah.
So there was, in those hard moments is when I'd question the validity of this ballot. No, I'd question whether I'd heard right and whether did God change his mind? Like, why is it like this? But I think because of all the things that had happened, I think God knows what each individual needs. Not everyone needs to have a story like ours with these amazing coincidences, if you will. Not everyone needs that. So if you pleased and it didn't work, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to be with your person. I think he just knew what we as individuals needed to be able to ride out the storm. So he needed that thing in him reignited of, you know, you can pursue, you can put your whole self out on the line and it can be received and the person will see you and notice you and love you and accept you for everything that you are. And I needed that, like, those assurances, like, okay, no, I wasn't making this up. It wasn't just me following my feelings. If it had just been my feelings, then why did God do ABCD to give me those confirmations? So those were kind of like, for me, something that helped me to not flee when it came to the choice of should I fight for this relationship or should I just let it go? So not that they were the only thing I was holding on to, but they helped. And God knew that I specifically, T-Mac, needed that. Not everyone needs that.
Yeah.
So please don't feel like you need 100 signs to make a decision to be with someone. Please. That is not what we're saying.
Yeah.
God knows what you as an individual needs.
Wow. Okay. So you guys are married now. Of course, I fast forwarded that. And your wedding was amazing.
Thank you.
Yes, yeah.
It was amazing. Like, totally amazing.
Much fun.
I was a groomsman.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
Yes. And of course, I was the most handsome looking one on the day of the groomsman. But no, yeah, seriously, though, your wedding was amazing. I think your wedding was just, I think, a big testimony and testament to the fact that, you know, like when I heard the story, when Pastor Doug was talking about how this was your first kiss ever, like I, for some reason, like I didn't know. So I'm like, all of us were chilling there, like all the guys. I remember the guys were just like,
this is not real.
Like, first kiss today, what's
real? I was like, this
is a married man, maybe.
This one's not human, right? That's what Owens is saying. But that was amazing. I'm just like, sure. This is like for real. That was deep. So what I want to know now, guys, now you're together, you know, you're married. Of course, it's a new chapter. You guys now spend every day together. How is it? How's married life? Let me say this. If you guys are willing to be as open, is it everything that you guys expected it or dreamt it to be? Is it more? What would you say it's been like?
Well, I think for me, I am very grateful to the teaching I had when I was an early Christian, when I was in university. I was taught, hey, when you are now going into marriage, drop all expectations, because expectations is what, you know, kills a lot of young marriages. You go in expecting it to be, you know, birds chirping and getting breakfast delivered to you and this and whatnot, or whatever expectations a guy might have. I was just taught, drop all expectations I know that some things would be great, other things won't be so great, but on the whole, you know, just decide to, you know, enjoy every single moment as much as you can. And I sort of took that into it. So like, I remember walking down the aisle and thinking, hey, all right, let me have fun with this, because hey, this is now where that advice kicks in.
Just yeah.
Try and have fun with everything. So yeah, for me, it has been better than I expected, because not that I had no expectations. I just knew that, you know what, God, I know that God put us together and God was very involved in our relationship. So even at times when I'll look at him and be like, you must have read the file wrong, God. You know, it's still fun. We have fun every day, almost every day, every day. I love waking up next to her, and I love that she's the last person I see when I go to sleep at night. I enjoy getting home to her. I enjoy telling her about my day, even though half the times I know she has no idea what I'm talking about.
Hurdle rates.
Hurdle rates and IRRs and all that kind of fun stuff.
Have you told me about that?
Yes, we have talked about that. But yeah, I enjoy it. I really enjoy it.
That's really good.
I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Hey, Mac, you want to go?
Marriage is a very steep learning curve. I would say that, like, you're just, not that you're chucked into it, but like you're in it. So then you start learning how to be a wife or how to be a husband. There's no trial run for that. Even if we did date for 3 years, like, it's different than it was. Yeah, there have already been challenges, but I don't know, like, I know he's not going anywhere. Maybe there's also that, like, I'm not going anywhere, he's not going anywhere. Today we had a bad day, but tomorrow we try again, kind of thing. Because yeah, it's like, we're not going anywhere. We've already decided that. So, yeah, it's been a mixed bag. And you also learn a whole lot about yourself. He's learned he doesn't like to share. So, you learn that, oh, maybe I'm not as patient as I thought I was. And some of it you voice, some of it you keep in. We're still in that phase where we're trying to learn, okay, when do I actually say this? Do I just blurt out how I'm feeling at the time, or do I wait for a good moment? We're not staying on our own yet. So also, when I can only speak for me, I'm not quite yet comfortable. So yeah, I'm realizing that it's not just going to be bah, awesome. It's like, just take each day as it comes, but know that just you have that surety that you're doing it with someone who's 100% in it the same way you are.
That's amazing, man. So any closing words, just, you know, for people out there that are in relationships, considering relationships, considering marriage, that are probably, you know, in the same boat that you guys were in 3 years ago?
I don't know. Don't pray to get married. Because then you'll marry the first guy who just shows some interest in you. I think work on yourself first. I know that's the cliche advice, but it's cliche for a reason. Focus on yourself. Focus on your relationship with God. And it will make your discernment better when that person enters your life. Like, oh, okay, no, but yeah, that I think this is the guy. And, stay strong.
Stay strong and hang in there.
Hang in there.
Hang in there.
You guys are going to be different. You will never find someone who's exactly like you. So just accept them for how different they are from you.
Right.
I think for me, what I've learned from the beginning, of the pursuit of Tanya up until now is that, especially for a guy, I think I'll speak for guys as much as I can, even though I know all guys are different, but it's important to have good thought processes and good steps and to come to decisions on your own. And this is like one of the reasons, one of the things that I'm really against is a girl macking on a guy, because she takes away that decision that he has to make to pursue. He has to decide to pursue. He has to decide to stay in it. He has to decide to get married, and he has to decide to stay married. And so when it starts off the other way, where the girl pursues, she kind of robs him of that first decision, which for guys is actually very important. Like, whenever we have some of those low moments, even when we were courting and everything, I kept coming back to, but Lord, I decided this with you. You helped me decide this. Okay, so we can go forward because we decided this together. Yeah, so it's important to make your decisions, and, you know, let your yes be yes and your no be no. If you decide that you're going to be with someone, decide to do it every single day.
Deep words. Thank you, guys. And what I love about your journey is the fact that it seems like at every single step, every single stage, God was at the center of what you were doing. You know, and I think that's really profound.
I will say there was this time when, I don't know about him, but I felt like God was not, obviously he was still involved, but he wasn't as speaking as loudly as he had been
right
in the courtship phase. So it's kind of, you just need to trust. And yeah, if he's the God who did those things, he's still there. He hasn't gone anywhere. Just because he's not speaking to you in the same way doesn't mean that he's silent. I think that's something I had to realize, that you can't come to a point where you rely on science for everything, every decision.
Yeah.
At some point, you actually just need to, like he's saying, just decide. Is this something I want? Something I don't want. Something you want? Cool. Put in the work.
Yeah. And also having good friends.
Yes.
Gotta have good friends.
Having good friends,
you
know, certainly
that is
helps.
Very important.
Good
to
friends.
Encourage you, to help you make wise decisions.
Yes, you need good friends.
You need good
so
friends.
For those of you that need good friends, a good friend, I'm actually starting to offer my services.
Cookie's a very good friend. That's true. Cookie's a very, very good friend.
Anyway, it's been real. It's been amazing. Thank you guys so much. T-Mac.
Yeah.
And Koda. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say
it's
that.
All right. They can it's know. Okay. They can know.
His name is Koda. My name is also Koda, so it's a Koda thing. Now you know my name. So yeah, man, it's been amazing, guys. Thank you so much. And as this is the month of love, I think, you know, it's a great time for us to think about love just beyond the romance, but just to really think about the love of God and what it means, and how God should be central to our decision making and to the way we do life daily. I think it's really important.
And God loves you enough not to let you marry the wrong person.
Yeah.
If you listen.
Mm-hmm. If you listen.
Yeah. Exactly. And like, if you're not attracted to that guy, right, maybe you just need like to chill. Good. Because he's going to find the right perfume. I'm kidding.
Give it time, man. Give it time.
Awesome. It's been real. Radiant Culture. We're out.
Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.